Welcome to Catholic Views. I'm your host, Renee Kranz. On today's show, we will have Allison Eckert in the studio. She is here to tell us, she's a Catholic from Mitchell area. She came in to tell us about her reversion story. This is not a conversion story, it's a reversion story, and it's a really good one. So I hope you will stick around to hear that. We all love to hear how other people deal with challenges in their life and to their faith. So hope you'll stick around for that. First, we have Dr. Chris Bergwald sitting here across from me, just anxiously waiting to tell you some biblical bites with Dr. B.
Good morning, Renee.
Yeah, hi,
Renee.
Hi, Renee. It's morning.
How's it going?
It's good.
What's today, Renee?
This is going to be, well, I don't know what number ordinary time, but it's, he's looking at me like it's not ordinary time. I'm going to say it's ordinary time.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, it's ordinary time. You have me panicked there for a second. It's next week that's Corpus Christi.
Yes, that is correct. Yes. So what's this week?
This week is ordinary time of some number.
We just, sadly, Renee, you are mistaken. It's the solemnity of the most
holy mother of the church
holy.
Of God. I do this to entertain you. You know,
most
that,
holy
right?
Trinity is this what we're looking for.
Okay, it was the most holy mother of the church on Monday.
Correct. Monday was Mary Mother of the Church.
Mary Mother of the Church. I'm getting all my stuff mixed up.
New titles. Pope Francis, I submit to you some new ideas.
New ideas for titles.
This is Trinity Sunday.
Okay.
We're going to look here actually at the collect, but I just want to start. The joke is, this is the Sunday that every homilist dreads.
Oh, yes, that's right. How do I describe this without being heretical?
the lament that some people, myself included, have about this is the greatest truth of our faith. Mm-hmm. And yet we have this, like, yeah, joking, but, you know, most jokes have some truth in them. We have this, oh no, like it's Trinity Sunday. And forget, like, I'm not just talking about homilists, like,
right.
Just people like, oh, the Trinity. Frank Sheed, who was a great 20th century Catholic author, speaker, Australian American, he was coming to give a talk in a parish. The bishop actually had invited him to give a talk in the diocese. He's going to a particular parish, and the lady said, so what are you going to be talking about? And he said, the most holy Trinity. And her response was, oh. Okay, in heaven, Renee, we will spend forever with God.
Yes.
And God is triune in nature. This is the truth of who he is.
Right.
So if we're bored with the idea of the Trinity now, this was fake, I'm paraphrasing what Frank Sheed said, heaven is going to be hell for us.
Now, to be fair, I don't think we're bored. I think we can't fathom it.
Right, right.
But, so we kind of just go,
Right. What I would humbly propose is that instead, let's try to engage with it a little bit.
Yeah.
You will never completely understand the Trinity.
No, it's a mystery.
But you can grow and understand. Also, all the mysteries of the faith, we can grow and understand them. So I think it's illustrative to listen to the collect or opening prayer of this Sunday's Mass.
Okay.
Just as a way in. It's one of the first things we hear from this Mass. Excuse me. So the collect goes like this. God our Father, who by sending into the world the word of truth and the spirit of sanctification, made known to the human race your wondrous mystery, grant us, we pray, that in professing the true faith, we may acknowledge the Trinity of eternal glory and adore your unity, powerful in majesty. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. So the thing that I want to highlight. So first of all, God our Father, who by sending into the world the word of truth and spirit of sanctification, we get reference to the three persons. But grant us, we pray, that in professing the true faith, we may acknowledge the Trinity of eternal glory and adore your unity. So in other words, like grammatically, if you like parse that sentence or that phrase, by professing the true faith, we can acknowledge God and adore him. When we come to understand more and more who God is as triune, we're able to love him more. Mm-hmm. We're able to grow in relationship with him more. The more I know him in the mystery of the Trinity, the more I can love him and receive his love in turn. Let's not run from the Trinity. Let's embrace it.
Ah, great stuff, Dr. B. Thank you.
You bet.
In the studio with me today is Allison Eckert. She is a Catholic revert who came back to the church, was confirmed last Easter, so Easter 2023. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. So I got your name and your information from the lovely Jeff Heron, mm-hmm. who is very good at sending people my way who have a really good either conversion story or reversion story. Because people love to hear these. And so he had told me about you, and I said, well, we have to get her in here to hear what this is about. So so thanks again for coming in on this kind of rainy day.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Allison, will you start? Just tell us a little bit about yourself in general.
I live here in Sioux Falls. Mm-hmm. I'm a dental hygienist.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm one of four children. So I have an older brother, a younger brother, and then an identical twin.
Oh, okay. If I see another one of you running around town, it might not be you, is what you're telling me.
Well, we don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
She lives out in Colorado.
Okay, good.
She's married and has two kiddos out there. So
okay, good.
We were born in Minnesota. Both my parents are from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They both came from Catholic families and met at St. Thomas. And then I think we were about three, we moved to Vermilion, mm-hmm. Lived there for about 8 years, and then bopped up to Sioux Falls, and we kind of finished out middle school, high school here in Sioux Falls, graduated from Roosevelt, and then we went to the University of Colorado in Boulder to run track and cross country.
Nice.
Had a lot of injuries, so then I actually transferred to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hmm.
Took a year off of school, went to Lincoln, Nebraska, and finished undergrad there, and then ended at the University of Nebraska Medical Center College of Dentistry.
Nice.
With a dental hygiene degree.
And then here you are. I have to ask, what brought your parents to Vermilion?
You know, I think the main driver was my dad was kind of in the business field, economics. I think he was working at a bank for initially and didn't love it, and then sort of had this dream of wanting to start like a bed and breakfast.
Oh.
And so there came this opportunity in Vermilion, South Dakota, that they were building a hotel. And my dad and a couple investors got involved, and then him and my mom ended up managing and ultimately owning the business, and are still at it today.
Very cool.
It used to be a Comfort Inn, and now it's the Best Western.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I did not expect that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was your relationship to faith like when you were growing up?
I think it was a typical sort of Catholic upbringing, mm-hmm. in a sense. We went to Mass on Sundays and CCD Wednesdays, Sunday school, pretty much every week. My dad would like read the Bible, and there was this book of virtues that he would read us at home.
Uh-huh.
And he did emphasize that sort of a personal relationship.
Sure.
With God. But I don't really know that I grasped that so well as like a young kiddo. And I just didn't understand why we did anything that we did.
Yeah. That's pretty typical.
Yeah. And so I was curious about faith and religion. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I probably mostly engaged with the like ritual religious aspect of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always kind of struggled with some degree of scrupulosity.
Okay, sure.
I kind of have some obsessive compulsive tendencies. Sure. And so
yeah.
My prayer life as a kid involved, I would do 100 thank yous and 100 I'm sorry. And then I would list every single person in my family, extended family, friends, every person that I could think of, mm-hmm. pray for them.
Wow.
And then it usually ended in like praying for world peace or something right. like that. So right. I was, very much gravitated towards being that kind of routine
sure.
oriented kind of person. So really not until probably high school, a lot of my friends were Protestant. And mm-hmm. so they kind of seemed to have a little bit more of a personal approach to their faith walk. And I knew that I was kind of missing something, but I just kind of wasn't sure how sure. to go about it. Ultimately, we got real busy in high school with sports and traveling, and we never ended up getting confirmed. My sister and I, older brother and my younger brother both got confirmed and went through it, but we never did. And then I went off to college and kind of bopped around to about every different denomination.
So at this point, you've kind of felt like maybe there might be something else that I might be more interested in as far as faith. Or what was happening at that point during college where you were exploring other churches?
I think part of it was, there were certain people in my life, particularly one of my friends, Melissa, who, she had a light about her, mm-hmm. a presence. It was like she was mature beyond her years. Mm-hmm. And she was always kind of reiterating and definitely exemplified, lived out her professed beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like historically I was sort of surrounded by kind of more of a lukewarm, apathetic mentality sure. towards religion. And so, I'm just like, she has something different. And I don't know what it is, but I want to, figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
On into college, we had kind of a Presbyterian church Wednesday nights on campus that we would go to. And then there was a non-denominational church on Sundays that we would go to that kind of ended up being like a mega church. Mm-hmm. It was Flatirons Community Church. Wonderful. Learned a lot. Kind of reintroduced me back into the church after I'd kind of walked away a little bit from faith just in general. And kind of went on that road and then went to Lincoln. And I think I went to a Berean church, which I think is sort of like modified Calvinism kind of approach.
Okay.
Because it was just recommended
right.
to me.
Right.
By,
someone said, hey, go here.
Yeah. And I thought everything was essentially non-denominational. Like, I just didn't understand.
Right.
You were either Catholic or you weren't, kind of thing. And so I just kind of went that direction and dabbled with some Bible studies and stuff like that. But that I even had a hard time with, in college. I was very curious, and a lot of the Bible studies sort of just turned into like a social hour.
Yes, I've experienced that myself.
Yeah. We didn't really engage too much in anything that was overly edifying, I guess you could say. Eventually then I moved back up to Sioux Falls and started going to Embrace and really enjoyed that and met a lot of just genuine believers and who were excited, about their faith and growing in that way. And shortly after I started going there, I met an individual on a dating app.
Oh.
And we went on a couple dates, and then he invited me to go to church with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, he gave me an address. I plugged it into my GPS, and no questions asked. And then I found myself in a neighborhood, and I was like, oh, no, I'm going to miss this church service because I am lost. There's no churches around here. And then next thing you know, he walks out the front door of this big, beautiful house and kind of waves me in. And so long story short, I then attended, it was a house church.
Okay.
And his dad was the pastor of this house church. Mm-hmm. And so I attended that for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I was, in a way, introduced to the fundamentals of really developing a personal relationship with the person of Christ. Mm-hmm. And really, for the first time, really understood why Christ was so important as our mediator.
Sure.
Between man and God, and, mm-hmm. and why that relationship was so necessary. I don't know why, it hadn't really clicked.
Right, right.
before. So yeah, I learned a ton. They really, you know, emphasized scripture, and I got to really come to learn why people call it the living word of God.
Ah, okay.
And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, this really, it is alive, it is well. If you want to get a good, clean look at yourself, put yourself up against the scripture and
right.
find out
oh,
pretty
totally.
Quick.
Oh, totally, yes.
And
yes.
so I did. I found a lot of, you know, very fruitful correction and cleansing through really getting into the scripture more than I ever had. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, a lot to be thankful for.
So, Allison, how did you find yourself coming back to the Catholic Church?
Yeah, so... I was never planning on any level was I planning on going back to the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
I ended up landing at an Assemblies of God church, which okay. is off of the Pentecostal branch, and met some wonderful people there and learned so many wonderful lessons. Really learned about the power of prayer and had no intentions of going anywhere. But then I had a dental patient in the dental chair named Ben, and he just radiated the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We started getting into these faith discussions, and then at one of his appointments, he was like, yeah, I've been reading John Henry Newman. And I was like, is that right? Interesting. But I recognized the name. I just didn't know.
Right.
Who it was. So, you know, I don't know if it was a day later or something. I eventually Googled who was John Henry Newman. And then I was like, oh, this is the guy that Newman Centers are named mm-hmm. after. And then it kind of struck me, like, this guy's a Catholic saint. Like, I just assumed that Ben was Protestant. And so I was like, does Ben know that?
He does.
So then, yeah, a couple months later, I saw him again at another appointment. And I'm like, dude, are you Catholic? And he was like, yeah, sure am. And that was the first time I've ever met anybody who, you know, this faithful person who went from being a Protestant to a Catholic. I don't know. I'd never encountered a mm-hmm. convert before.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually he was like, yeah, if you want to talk about this more, we can get coffee and I'll share my story. And I was very curious. I was like, please do tell me. I mean, you seem so well-versed in theology and faith, and you have such a strong, a strong faith, philosophy, what have you. And so, yeah, we met for coffee, and then he's like, yeah, so my pastor, growing up, he converted to Catholicism mm-hmm. and now runs RCA at the cathedral. We should just go pop in and sit in on a class and just see what you think. I'll go with you. And I was like, first off, that's insane. Now you're telling me that a pastor has now converted to Catholicism? This is wild to me. This is insane. So then I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm all for collecting data.
Right.
And, you know, it can only benefit in my book.
Yes.
So, yeah, went to a class, showed up a little bit early, and Jeff popped over, slammed down a binder, a Catholic Bible, and a catechism, and was like, can't wait for you to become Catholic. And I think I did laugh out loud because not realizing, like, that he was
serious. Fully serious. Oh, yeah. Jeff was definitely serious.
And so it was just like class after class, all of these misconceptions that I had. It's like I grew up Catholic. It was just a very humbling experience to actually learn what us as Catholics actually believe.
Yes, yes. It can be really eye-opening at times. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. I had so many misconceptions.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a journey, and it was one of those things where I feel like the Lord just kept, you know, sprinkling breadcrumbs. I'm just like, I guess this is what we're doing. But yeah, I mean, even the John Henry Newman, like when I left the house church, I had a lot of holes mm-hmm. in my understanding of theology and religion in general. And he focused on the philosophy of faith, the grammar of assent, development of doctrine, and talked about your conscience as being the vicar of Christ within.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sort of been trained to no longer trust my conscience.
Oh.
And so that was just like a wild ride for me too, mm-hmm. because it was hitting on these very specific things that I was struggling with, and I would have never found that on my own, you know?
It's really a good thing that Ben popped into your
life. Talk about that guy. Have you interviewed him yet?
I haven't, but I'm going to. I'm going to.
Yeah.
So, Allison, can you tell us whatever else you want to tell us about your time through RCIA and how that really helped you decide to get confirmed and be back in the church fully?
Yeah. Like I said, just, you know, one class after another, just being very humbled and corrected on all of my misconceptions.
Yeah.
And then it was probably what really sealed the deal for me, I guess, was going through my first confession in over 20 years.
Oh, boy. I bet that was tough.
It was and it wasn't.
Okay.
That was a very powerful experience for me. 'Cause as a kid, confession was terrifying.
Yeah.
And I just...
It still is.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And I had grown to be very against the idea of confession from a more like Protestant viewpoint. But as I, you know, Jeff or Ben or somebody was like, you should probably, it's going to take you a bit. Mm-hmm. So you should probably like let them know and maybe, you know, meet them ahead of time.
Yeah.
Just so you have extra time and you're not doing it.
Yes.
During regular
10 minutes
hours.
Before Mass.
Yeah. And so I just scheduled like an office hours. It was actually with Father Scott Miller when he was at St. Michael's.
Yeah.
Ben had recommended him. And so, yeah, we just sort of started chatting. And then he was like, do you want to do your confession just right here in the office? And I was like, absolutely. Actually, that would be really nice because the idea of going in the confessional for the first time, like, I don't remember what I'm doing. Yeah. Like, it's very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we just did it right there. It probably took like 45 minutes. Wow. I had my pages all written out.
That's great.
Lots of tears. But wow, like, you know, coming to understand that, like, the priest is there to sit in place of Christ, mm-hmm. that we are speaking to Christ mm-hmm. in that moment. It's not just we're confessing to a priest.
Right.
And he's helping you, you know, guide you through that process. But it was a very powerful, powerful experience of just really feeling the Lord through all of that. And you know, Father Scott was, you know, I want you to know, like, the Lord, he forgives you 10,000 times over. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a book at the end. And it just was, it was very touching and provided so much healing, so much freedom, you know, after going through that. And then I came to sort of understand and see how, what a gift confession is
mm-hmm.
for the church to provide this safe place for us to sort of bare our souls. And as somebody who is very into psychology and whatnot, you know, I understand the value of talk therapy and
mm-hmm.
being able to say those things out loud and mm-hmm. having that, you know, the tangibility of a priest there that you are expressing these things to, I think is such a helpful
yes.
exercise and very humbling too. And so, from that point forward, I was like, all right, this is home.
I'm in.
Huh? Yeah. And Jeff is such a great teacher and spiritual guide. You can't not get encouraged by the level of enthusiasm he has for the faith.
Yes, that's very true.
So
very
I got to, through him and Ben, and then he introduced me to Al Costanzo that we interviewed a little while back. They were all so helpful in teaching me about, there's no better word than describing the Catholic faith as just rich.
Yeah.
There's so many levels, so many, so much history.
Yeah. We can't even figure it out all in one lifetime. Yeah. I mean, really.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
How was Easter Vigil for you getting confirmed?
Yeah. That was also kind of like the confession situation. It was very powerful. And like I said, I think as somewhat of an anxious, neurotic kind of person, there's not too many times where you get to experience calm and peace.
That's very true. Especially in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it was nearly 4 hours, but it went by so fast. It didn't feel like 4 hours. One of my favorite parts of, when I went through it and then even this year, I don't know what, it just was so touched by seeing each person's face, as they're being blessed by the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And the smiles and just... we all get to enter into this freedom and this peace together. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful experience to, enter the church and do it in community. And,
Allison, we are out of time for your story. However, what we might do is I might do a little overtime quick with Allison. And we'll kind of finish up, wrap up how you... confirmation was for you at Easter Vigil and how you're doing now. So if you're interested in finding out the end of Allison's story, just come on to YouTube. You'll find the extra piece there. So thank you for coming in and we'll pick this up on the other end.
All right.
If you haven't found us yet on social media, you can find us at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at SF Diocese anytime. That's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.